Hello again, Gary Stearman with another edition of Prophecy in the News. We're very privileged today to have as a guest author and lecturer Fred DeRuvo. Stay with us. Well, as I said, Fred DeRuvo is with us today, author of The Pre-Trib Rapture and End of the Ages. We're going to be talking about these two books with Fred. And by the way, I should mention, Fred, you've written how many books?
29.
So we're not going to talk about all 29 today.
Not enough time.
We're going to stick to what I think is a very hot subject right now, the pre-trib rapture. And Fred believes the same thing. Fred, let's just get right into it. Because when we talk about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, we're talking about a really central idea. That is to say, it's an idea that sort of divides people.
It does. People get really heated over the issue. I don't know about you, Gary, but I've been called some not-so-nice names because of this particular belief that I have, based, I believe, on Scripture. But, yeah, it's definitely a heated subject.
Now, the pre-tribulation rapture, it is often criticized as being kind of a new idea that was not held by the apostles, and it sort of came back into vogue in the late 19th century, early 20th century, therefore it's sort of discounted as a Johnny-come-lately idea that was not really an apostolic idea. How do you react to that?
Well, the way I react to that is quite simple. For 1,100 years, the Roman Catholic Church dominated the scene. And since their theology was based on Augustine, who largely allegorized prophecy, there was no other game in town. The Roman Catholic Church or nothing. You didn't have your own Bible. You went to church. The priest told you what the Bible said and what it meant. So there was no alternative. So when the Reformation happened, then all of a sudden people like Tyndale and Luther and others started getting the Bible out to the common person. And because of that, people started studying on their own again. And because of that, some of the stuff, not just the pre-trib rapture, but other areas as well started coming to the fore because people were now getting into the Bible study like they had not been able to do for the previous 1,100 years.
Let's talk about the rapture in terms of its biblical context, in terms of its typology, to use a kind of a fancy word. Are there types of the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture in the Bible?
Well, I believe there are. You know, people point to Noah, for instance, and it is interesting how they will come away with a post-trib view or, in my case, a pre-trib view. But I think it's cut and dry, both Noah and, of course, Enoch, and then Lot. In the case of Noah, God shut him up and his family and all the animals into the ark. And then judgment fell. Judgment in the form of the flood. And people will say to me, well, yeah, but Noah was still on the earth. And my response is, no, he wasn't on the earth. He floated above the earth. Now, to them, that may be splitting hairs, but where else was he going to go? There was no place on earth that he could have stayed and not drown. So he floated above the earth. The only other place for him to go would be for God to take him to heaven and then put him back on earth. It was the same way with Lot. It was a localized judgment in those twin cities. But where was Lot? Lot had been scurried away by the angels. He said, you need to get out of here before we do anything. So it was the same deal. So in my view, those are two very strong types of pre-trib raptures in the Bible.
And in both cases, the event that sort of focuses the action is judgment.
Exactly.
Judgment of the entire earth with the case of Noah. The judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah in the case of Lot. So you have judgment on the one hand, you have escape on the other, and which brings up the word, escape. Sometimes the idea of the rapture has been more or less denigrated as the Great Escape.
Right.
And that's a derogatory title.
Yeah, it is.
People making fun of it.
Yeah, sure it is. You know, I've been told, I know that you have too, others, that I'm just looking forward to the rapture because I can't wait to escape. I want to escape the tribulation.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, who in their right mind wants to be here? But secondly, if I happen to be wrong about the rapture and I'm here to experience the tribulation, the Lord is going to protect me through it. It's going to happen the way He wants to. I can't wish the pre-trib rapture into existence by thinking, I'm going to escape, I'm going to escape. That's not it at all. If the pre-trib rapture is taught in the Bible, which I believe it is, then it is a legitimate doctrine that needs to be, you know, taught throughout Christendom.
Well, let's read some verses out of the Bible, which good. I think is always a good idea. I know.
Excellent.
Let's go back to the Bible, as
Amen.
They say. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore? And this ending thought is great. Wherefore, comfort one
yeah.
another with these words.
Yeah.
So the rapture is supposed to be a comforting idea.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, I don't think that Paul would have told us about it if we were not supposed to be comforted by it. But just as you read, I mean, the sequence of events that happens here, and we which are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Ultimately, where's our destination? It's in heaven. So if I die today, and this is something else I tell people, in my mind, there's no difference between my view of life, because I have no clue when I'm going to die. I don't look at death necessarily as an escape, although in some sense it is. However, at the same time, since I have no idea when I'm going to die, I live as if this could be my last day. Tomorrow
yes.
could be my last day. And that's the same way I view the pre-trib rapture.
Indeed. Let's talk about another idea.
Okay.
While I read this passage in the 16th verse, there is the trump of God.
Okay.
So the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. There is a very popular idea
right.
among many that
right.
this is the seventh trumpet
right.
In the book of Revelation. And since we've brought up the book of Revelation, we're going to be speaking about another book that Fred has written. It's called End of the Ages, and it's all about Revelation chapters 5 through 22.
Right.
In other words, the action
right portion. When the action starts.
Where the action starts.
Where it starts, exactly.
And now, you know all about the trumpets of Revelation.
Sure.
And
sure.
the seventh trumpet blows.
Right.
Is that when the rapture is going to be?
Well, that's what I hear people telling me. But no, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I understand there's a number of ways that we can arrive at that conclusion. But if you look at the way the trumpet was used in the Old Testament, it was always a series of trumpets followed by a long blast of the last trump.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a possibility. I don't think it necessarily ties in with the seventh trumpet at all. But there are some other viewpoints as well that could be enlisted for this particular understanding of what the last trump means.
Well, and you and I have talked about
right.
this, and you know what I believe. I
Absolutely.
Think the trump of God is the actual voice of God.
And that makes perfect sense.
And by the way, the other place in the Bible where the voice of God is heard is in Exodus chapter 3
right.
at Mount Horeb, where
right.
God descends over the mountain and his voice sounds like a trumpet.
Right.
Scared people to death.
Exactly.
It was magnificent. It was not a shofar.
No, no.
And in the New Testament, you know, the Greek word for trumpet, one of my favorite words is saltingo, is not one of those either.
No.
It's the voice of God that sounds like a trumpet.
Right.
And when you hear it, you'll recognize it. Didn't Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice?
Yes.
I think we'll instantly know
Amen. Who, yeah.
who's talking.
I agree.
So,
yeah.
We have then this focal point, the dead in Christ rising first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now, the word rapture is nowhere in the Bible. And sometimes the idea of the rapture is faulted, like you people are talking about something that's not even in the Bible. What do you
right.
say to that?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but the word Trinity isn't used in the Bible. Triune God, the concept is taught there. There are a number of things that are not, you know, specifically mentioned in the Bible, but it's names that we give those particular doctrines. So particularly the word or the phrase caught up together, harpazio,
yeah.
if I said that correctly, isn't that where we get the word rapture from?
Absolutely. And harpazo is a Greek word root that comes all the way, believe it or not, I've done a study on this, it comes all the way down to the English word harpoon. That's where the English
okay.
word harpoon comes from,
okay.
the Greek word harpazo. Well, what happens when you harpoon something?
You catch something.
You catch it and pull it back.
Pull it back. Oh, and that's amazing.
And so that idea is caught in the English language.
Hmm.
And the idea of, as in the King James Version, it says, we shall be caught up together mm-hmm. with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the air, I love that.
Yeah.
Because the word in the Greek text is translated air, is air. Same Greek word.
Oh, wow.
In English and in Greek.
That's interesting.
Which is fascinating to me.
It is.
And you know, it means the atmospheric heavens.
Right.
It doesn't mean way out there in the galaxies.
Right.
It doesn't mean down here on the surface of the earth. It means exactly. up there where the airplanes fly.
Exactly.
Now, that's interesting.
It is. It really is.
And so this event happens. Will people see it? Will people understand it or know it? Do you think people, the people of the planet Earth who are not safe in Christ will look up and know that something is going on?
I'm sure they're going to know something's going on. As a matter of fact, in all the research I've done, and I know we were discussing this as well, there's elements of the New Age, people in the New Age who have been preaching a type of rapture situation for years. They just call it something else. They call it the Great Evacuation. And they put a different spin on it, but they even use biblical terminology like it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. 20 million or more people are going to be gone from the face of the earth. This has been taught in the New Age movement for 30 or more years. So I'm sure that people are going to be aware of something. There's going to be a huge change in the earth in just a matter of seconds. So I'm sure they'll notice it.
A huge change.
I think so.
I always think of the event on the road to Damascus where Paul was struck down and right. the Lord talked to him.
Right.
The people who were with him saw something happening, but they couldn't quite figure it out.
Right.
They knew that something had happened.
Exactly.
And that may be analogous to what we're talking about.
I think so. I think so. Yeah.
Let's talk for a moment about your book, End of the Ages.
Okay.
And the subtitle, Revelation chapters 5 through 22. What did you have in mind when you wrote this book?
Well, what I try to do with all of my books is I try to write to the layperson. I mean, there are a ton of books out there that are real, very scholarly. They're written for other people who have doctorates, etc. But as for me, I like to write books that the average person can sink their teeth into.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I wrote this book, I thought, well, let me start right where the action begins and try and take them somewhat chronologically through it, even though the book itself is not fully chronological, so that they have an overall grasp of what's happening in the book of Revelation. That was my purpose.
Now, I should add at this point that having read Fred's books, now I have to be honest and say I haven't read all 29.
Oh, no.
I've read three or four.
Okay.
This is one of them. And I have to say, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about your style of writing.
Okay.
You do not write over people's heads.
Okay.
You've got what I would call a dramatic, not simplistic, but a direct way of writing.
Okay.
So you don't have to stop and say to yourself, what did this guy mean when he wrote this?
Right.
In other words, your writing pulls people along, and it's a Fred DeRuvo style of writing, and it's easy to read.
Well, I appreciate that. People have told me that I write like I talk, like I
speak. Exactly.
And that's, if it's coming through like that, that's good to know.
And so you cover what are ordinarily considered to be heavy concepts with a very breezy way of talking, and very entertaining, I should say, too.
Great. Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
And so if you want to read about Revelation and just say, all right, let's just find out what Revelation is about. Let's not get involved in the heavy, heavy concepts. This is a book for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, we're offering this for $19.95. And the book, The Pre-Tribulation Rapture. Notice these bright covers. Fred designs these himself.
They're fun.
He does fun things. He actually draws cartoons, which I like.
I do.
And he illustrates things and makes them fun to read. The Pre-Trib Rapture, $14.95. And this one, The End of the Ages, $19.95.
I think
and
that one's $17.95.
Is it
$17.95 on The End of the
Ages. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here.
I see.
And we are going to to give you another book at this point, too, because Fred has written a book that I think is really worth studying called Finishing the Race, and it's all about the believer's rewards.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. Tell us just a little bit about this book.
Well, there's so much controversy with salvation today, which I don't think there should be, but, you know, you got the Lordship Salvation groups, and then you got the once saved, always saved, and et cetera. And there's this conflict, kind of like there is in the eschatology area with the pre-trib rapture. So what I tried to do here was, when we talk about finishing the race, mm-hmm. which is found in Scripture, of course, run the race set before you, the concept is, are they talking about finishing it so that we will gain salvation? Or are they talking about finishing it so that you'll gain rewards beyond salvation? And even though some people don't like to discuss rewards, it's like, whoa, rewards? We're all going to be the same in heaven. We're all going to get the same deal, right? Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. There's at least five rewards that I know of that are spoken of and taught about in the New Testament alone. And those rewards, ultimately, like everything else, are for God's glory. We have them. We gain them, I guess you could say, through our submission to Christ, allowing Him to work in and through us so that we will gain those rewards. But you and I both know, Gary, when we get to heaven, the last thing we're going to be thinking about is ourselves. We're going to take those rewards and go, Lord, here they are. I got them because of what you were able to do through
me. Right. To glorify God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the three books, Pre-Trib Rapture, End of the Ages, and Finishing the Race. And by the way, this book is worth far more than you might realize. You need to know. You need to have a concept of what it is to think about rewards in the biblical sense. All three books, we're calling it the Fred DeRuvo Package, $44.95. Just call up 1-800-475-1111 and ask the individual who answers the phone to send you the Fred DeRuvo Package, $44.95 plus shipping and handling. Or you can order any of the three books separately. But I would recommend you just get the package because you're going to save some money in the long run and have a good complementary set of books. Let's go back to the rapture.
Okay.
Probably my favorite subject, by
it
the
is.
Way.
It's a good subject.
Let's talk about the pre-trib rapture of the church in terms of Revelation, the book of Revelation.
Okay.
A lot of people see the church going through the tribulation. You've written the book about Revelation chapters 5 through 22. Do you
right.
see the church anywhere in Revelation 5?
I don't see it, no. I don't see it until the end.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, people will say, well, the word saint is used.
Yes.
Yes, and the word saint was used in the Old Testament to describe the saints of the Old Testament. Just because the word saint is used in the book of Revelation, for instance, it does not mean it's referring to the church. As a matter of fact, there's good reason to think that if the church is gone, which it looks like it is after Revelation 4, then it's almost like it's reverting back to an Old Testament view. And if you look at the way the day of the Lord is described and the tribulation, also being known as the day of Jacob's trouble and many other places, it's emphasizing its Jewishness. It's emphasizing the need that God has turned his eye once again to deal with the nation of Israel. And he does that with the church out of the way.
So there's a reason for the rapture.
Exactly.
And it's not to take you, Fred, to heaven. It's not to take me, Gary, to heaven. That's
right.
not the reason for the
That's
rapture.
That's not the reason.
The reason is God has a program. And, you know, that program has been codified in what's called dispensationalism.
Right.
Dispensationalism is the idea that God progressively addresses humanity over a period of dispensations or economies.
Right.
Has different ways of dealing at different times with different people. Right now, we live in the age of the church. And you and I both believe that.
Sure. Yeah.
But the age of the church is finite. That is,
right.
it had a beginning.
It'll
have an end.
It's going
to have an end.
Yep.
This belief, I believe, is strongly expressed in the Bible.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people deny it.
Right.
That is to say, they put the church out front and say right. that the church is going to usher in the kingdom.
Right.
And what do you say to that?
Well, usually I found that people who say that, they will also tell you that the church today needs to be purified. The church needs to go through the school of hard knocks so that we can, you know, get that dirt, that filth knocked out of us. And yet I sit there and I go, wait a minute. That's not what Paul tells me in the book of Ephesians. If you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 2, one of the things Paul says is that we're already seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Mm-hmm. Well, how can I be automatically seated there with him if I'm still dirty? And if I'm still dirty, what is salvation about? So to me, it almost smacks of the concept of me having to earn a little bit of my salvation. I've got to keep going. I do have to keep going. Mm-hmm. But am I keeping going for me to make sure that I'm pure? What needs to be purified today is the visible church, not the invisible church. So the church does not need to go through the tribulation period in order to be purified. What I see God doing in the tribulation is very much the same thing that he did when he first called Israel out of Egypt. What did he do? He constantly purged that group of rebels, of unbelievers. And I believe that's exactly what he's going to be doing in the tribulation period. It's almost picking up where he left off, to purify that group, to fine-tune that remnant, the final remnant, which will go then into the millennial kingdom and fulfill the prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled regarding Israel.
Well said.
Well, thank you.
Now, let's continue then and talk about the rapture in terms of its culmination of the age of the church. That is to say, the rapture is something that God does. It's not man-centered, but God-centered.
Absolutely.
And I think that the Bible is very strong in that respect.
I would agree. Yeah. It, you know, if you stop to think about it, and this is something I don't think people can, and I myself, I have a difficult time with this. Let me plug another one of my books. I wrote another book called His Highest Purpose. And God's highest purpose is glorifying himself in everything that happens. He's using Satan for that. He's using the evil in the world to glorify himself. Everything. So I agree with you. The rapture is another way that he brings glory to himself. And we benefit. But he glorifies himself through that.
The rapture is the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.